Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today, Spike Lee has a new TV show, and the iPhone 7 is here. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
In silence while they take the lives of our brothers and sisters and partner. We will not turn a blind eye to the murder with no repercussions. Oh no, we will not.
T.I. Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech, the show we break down nerd culture, our tech news and nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective.
Yeah.
One day after 100 plus 200 shows and we get it right. I'm Joe Braswell. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Keely Shine. How's it going?
It's going good, man. Everything is well, man. Happy to be back on the show and had a little time off. And
yeah.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. As promised, I said that Keely, we would be back together doing this week. We are back together. I'm doing well. A lot going on. I'm excited. It's a good time. The Emmys are here.
Mm-hmm.
Fall TV's here.
Yeah.
The iPhone's dropping.
Yeah.
Like stuff's happening in tech. You know, football season starting.
That's right.
It's a lot.
Election.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. So.
Yeah.
But a TI, not bad.
Yeah, man. I mean, I love his direction with this project, you know, in the sense he's taking more of a social political stance.
Yeah.
He's addressing some of the things that have been happening in our country. And I mean, I think that's different from T.I. because he's always been on record to not be politically astute or politically a political voice, and he's actually using his creative gift to do that now.
Yeah.
Have you seen his video?
I've seen nothing.
Oh, his video's pretty dope.
As I told you off air, I saw him in the parking lot on Fairfax and try to run up on him like a fan and realize that probably not a good idea.
get ran down as a fan.
But I've not. So what's the video?
I mean, essentially, like he. Is taking a really creative position where he is flipping the script. It's almost like a TV show, I think, that's coming out on Fox. I think it's called Shots Fired, where a black officer actually kills a white kid, and he actually does that in the video. Where I don't want to give too much away. I want you to watch it and just experience it. But that's pretty much the premise behind the visuals of the video. It's a white kid that's killed by a black police officer. And how do you feel about that now when it's kind of like the roles are reversed?
Right.
You know?
So sort of asking the question.
Exactly.
Like, so, oh, now, yeah, how will this be experienced by the world?
Exactly.
I like that. I like that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I need to check out Mr. T.I. and his new work. Well, speaking of which, there is a gentleman is on a mission to stop some gang violence using social media. Now the headline sounds goofy because there's a lot of people who criticize this generation in general for, you know, people do a hashtag and think they've done a protest or
hashtag socialism.
I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean.
Hashtag
activism. Sorry.
Yes. And so there's a lot of criticism on that. So when I read that, I'm like, he's doing that. But I took a couple steps deeper into the article and realized that my man Desmond Patton, he's from Chicago Southside, he's actually a professor assistant professor at Columbia. And he's actually doing trying to do these algorithms, trying to create a really complicated and complex algorithm to help predict, like, you know, when violence, these type of violent things may happen, and help try to prevent them. It's very, again, we hark back to my favorite movies. It's very Minority Report, very pre-crime.
Yeah,
you know, it's dope. I mean, if this works, what do you think? What do you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could definitely work. Not to reference another Fox show, but they have a show that's exactly about this called APB, where they're actually using technology, social media, to be able to prevent crime. And so I like the fact that he's trying to address such a problematic thing that's happening in the black community, especially in Chicago, by using the platform and devices and technology that our young folks are on as a way to circumvent and prevent, you know, negative altercations that could lead to murder, death, whatever. And so I applaud him on that. And I think, I mean, this is the best time ever for us to utilize technology in this way, because it's a convergence of computation and communication. Like,
right.
we are all on our devices, and because of the where we are with technology and how fast we're able to process information, we're able to get this type of data and be able to make decisions that could actually, you know, do positive. And so I think that he's trying to position himself in a way that's going to really make some changes in all communities.
I have to ask you, I mean, like, I agree with all that. I agree with all that. And it's one of these things that sounds good on paper and it sounds great, but is it like, you know, after just seeing, you know, Snowden and Citizen Ford and thinking about the surveillance that already happens, you know, with the NSA and our cell phones and everything else, like, does this how is this used in practice? Let's just say he perfects his algorithm.
Yeah.
So is it like I send a tweet and the cops show up at my door? Like, I mean, is in what level is this? Is this how do you differentiate between surveillance and invasive surveillance versus sort of pre-crime and crime prevention?
Hey, man, I think that, you know, if you're using a platform that is a public platform, right? So if you're on the street corner saying you're going to rob somebody or kill somebody, what's the difference if you're doing on Twitter, if you're doing it on Facebook? And so, like, if I have have the organizational infrastructure to be able to be the middleman to prevent that, because I'm kind of hearing what's going on, I don't see it as surveillance. I see it as just watchdog. People might argue that is surveillance, yeah, but I see it as just, yo, community responsibility.
It also could be good police work too. I mean, like a good, you know, like with community responsibility, community watch groups or police themselves are trained to sort of be able to eyeball situations and defuse them and, mm-hmm. and know when things are going to escalate or not escalate. So mm-hmm. to be able to do this digitally, it could be great.
And another thing, I mean, some might argue that a lot of problems might escalate through social media before it even becomes hand-to-hand or man-to-man in the street. So maybe a form of de-escalation before it's even, like, personal. You know right. what I'm saying? So I think that is also a point that should be applauded in the fact that he's trying to just use the tools that are ubiquitous and that are most used by our young folk and use that as a way to bring about peace and calm and order and more harmonious, you know, living. So.
Yeah, I think it's the responsibility of the police force and the citizenship to be, you know, with that curve. Usually the technology curve is far ahead of everything else, the right. police curve, the legal curve, everything else.
Yeah.
So we got to catch up to that because, yeah. you know, if you want to know where the kids are, what they're doing or how they're doing it, it's really through social media and digital media on our phones. So if Absolutely. You're trying to prevent and do anything, parent, teach, police, do yeah. anything that doesn't involve those tools, then you're behind.
Yeah, you're out the conversation.
Right. Cool.
Not dialed in.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll keep our eye on that, on that pre-crime. Like, again, there needs to be a documentary about all of the things that Minority Report got right. You know, we did that in our Star Trek documentary, all the things that Star Trek got right. Minority Report is getting shit right.
Man, like, they really check boxes.
Checking all the boxes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many stories we've done, and I'm like, oh, I was like, Minority Report. Anyway, moving on. Today is the day. Today's the day, allegedly, for the iPhone 7 to drop. Last week, I talked a lot about it. I went through what happened at the keynote, mm-hmm. at the rollout.
Yeah.
I kind of went through all the features, and we talked about it off air, but, you know, this says that if you don't already pre-ordered an iPhone 7 Plus, yeah. you ain't going to get one today because they're already sold out.
Yeah.
And on the iPhone 7s, the jet blacks are sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you, I didn't have a chance to ask you last week, but you're in on the iPhone 7, right?
Define being in on the iPhone. What does that mean?
You're going to get one.
Yeah, I'm going to get one because right. I think it's my contract's up and it's long overdue for a new phone. But if you were to ask me, is this like groundbreaking technology and something to like really be over the moon with? No.
Huh.
Like, I felt the keynote was kind of lackluster. I felt that, huh. I mean, seriously, like, what are the exemplary attributes of the iPhone 7 that you can't find in another phone or you can't find really in the iPhone 6? Like, there's really not that much of an expansion of the technology.
Those are good points. To that point, I mentioned this last week too, that, like, you know, these events, these keynotes are getting like less and less.
Man, the potency is terrible.
And the idea, I mean, it's amazing that Apple's still able to generate that much press and for themselves. No other company, you know, is going to have this has this event that they construct themselves and call the press, and it's covered in the news media and mainstream news media like it's an event.
Exactly.
It's really just a product launch. But so the point is, but this is the first time that Apple is actually releasing a new product, which are the AirBuds.
Holy smokes, man! Let's line up. Let's line up, guys.
which you know, obviously, everyone else sort of has had that.
Yes.
So, okay. So you're getting it. Well, let me ask you this: then you're getting this phone because you're like, yeah, I gotta get one. I'm an Apple guy.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is it like is it exclusively I'm an Apple guy? That's what's happening. But
yeah,
I think is nothing gonna get you over to Samsung.
I don't think so because I have such an affinity to Apple, being that I have an Apple desktop, I have an Apple laptop, I have, you know, iPads. So it's like in the cadre of my technological devices, like, I want to have the uniformity.
Right.
And I mean, there are, I mean, in terms of the software, there's some great software that I'm sure the iPhone is going to help my productivity with, in addition to my other devices. But like, honestly, man, like I really can't argue that this is something that's groundbreaking. I really can't. Like, it's I need a phone to navigate, and I do want the newest phone. I mean, but it's nothing that's like really appealing to me. Like, the only thing that I would say, and I think it could be halfway gimmicky, is the camera, the dual camera.
Dual camera's great.
But we'll see. We'll have to test that out.
But as Apple users, I like the way that they're improving upon their products. I mean, like, you know, this has, you know, nearly double the battery life for you, especially coming from the 6
right.
to the 7.
Yeah.
You'll have almost twice the battery life. And
whoopee!
That's something. I don't know, man. All right, we'll move on from that. I'm on the S cycle, so it looks like I have to wait for the 7S.
Well, hold on. So it sounds like you're like really juiced about it.
I am, actually.
What about the iPhone that's like really getting you? I don't see it.
I am. I like the camera. I like the idea that they're closing all the they're going wireless. I like the innovations in terms of, twice as fast, faster processor, twice as fast.
Well, they're not going wireless. It's not true.
But what do you mean?
Because, I mean, you're still going to plug your headphones in.
Okay.
It's not wireless. No headphone jack.
Right. Exactly. Difference. I'm sorry. That's a very, very important. Good point. I don't know. I mean, what I am excited about, which we'll talk about in a moment, is I do like the OS X.
Okay.
So we can talk about that in a second. It's been dramatic mixed reviews. But before that, I want to talk about, I don't know if you saw this ad that Motorola did.
Yeah. Coming from their necks.
Yeah, that's a real, that's just like old school, kind of like you would see, you know, in the 80s and 70s and 60s, it's sort of full page ads that like go directly at the customer. And basically, the ad, if you hasn't seen it, it's up there. It's called Skip the Sevens. It basically admits like Apple has done everything. Apple has innovated. They've passed the spies and all sorts of stuff. But look at them now.
Yeah.
You know, and look at us now. Take a real serious look as to why you're just droning on with Apple stuff. You should try us out.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that I would be a participant and consume the Motorola mode device that they have coming out, the mod device they're coming out. So it's like a modular thing where you're able to connect various backs to your phone.
Right.
So like if you want a projector, you could put the projector back on it. If you want a longer battery, you put the battery back on there. I like the fact that it has the customization of offering. But beyond that, like, I don't see how they're really going to be competing against Apple. But I do like the competitive spirit and, you know, how they're using creativity and advertising to kind of be able to change the conversation. I kind of like that. But in terms of them, like, really, like, competing head-to-head with Apple as a company and their array of products, I don't foresee it. I think they're just trying to get some views and eyeballs off, and, you know, siphon that off of all the ones that are on Apple right now. You know,
yeah. We're talking about Motorola here. We're not talking about Samsung.
Exactly.
I mean, a great ad campaign does go a long way.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, but you have to back it up with the product.
Exactly.
And Motorola does have the history. They have the history that dates back into, like, deep into the beginning of this technology in general.
The pioneers.
Yeah, so I think that, like, different is better. I really like this. It would be interesting to see if their product is even remotely as good as Apple's, which I don't think it is.
So. I don't think it is either.
So moving on. So let's talk about iOS 10. iOS 10 is out, and it's been very polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
I upgraded. I had some buggy issues, and then I think there was a fix that came out. But I like it. I love it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done it yet?
No, I haven't done it. And to be honest, one of the reasons I have not done that is because I usually wait about a week or two. See for them to fix their bugs, you know.
Right.
I did it the last time also when iOS 9 came out. I didn't do it immediately, from what I've read about what the operating system, it's great. It seems like it's an advancement in terms of what the offering is, and just I think the whole iMessage is pretty cool. I love what they're doing with Siri. What else?
I think Siri has just dramatically improved. I think quietly, Siri went from just being really kind of whack and gimmicky to like pretty intuitive and great.
Right.
I think the Siri stuff is good. Mm-hmm. I agree that the iMessage stuff is good.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff, the kind of Snapchat like features you can do, the fun stuff you can do with the iMessage is very gimmicky, but I think it's great. I think, what I'm not quite sold on yet, and I think it's just the way of because I'm just now getting used to it, is they've done a lot of changes involving iTunes and Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
I just got used to using Apple Music. So they changed everything to help support some of the new things they have going on. Like Apple's going to be, we talked about Apple Music having a lot of TV stuff, a lot of videos.
More content.
So, and that's sort of carried over into our interface that you have on your computers as well. So it's going to take getting used to. It's a wholesale change. So it's really, it's almost like having a whole new phone, really. And so that's what's exciting about it. I think that like people hate change. Mm. So I understand why this is like not, you know, being received that well, but I think it's pretty functional.
I don't know. Like a lot of what I read in terms of reviews is not necessarily the change in the innovations or the differences. It's more so the bugs. Like they're unable to open up certain apps, the functionality with Bluetooth, they're not able to connect auxiliary devices. Like those are the things that people are complaining about, not the aesthetic value or the offering in terms of what you can do on the phone. It's like the stuff is just not working.
Right.
You know? And I think that's why people are in a frenzy about it.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about our friends over at DraftKings because football season's here. Fantasy football season's here. I play fantasy football. I don't know if you play. Do you play fantasy?
Man, I would love to, man, but I just don't have the time.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So DraftKings, I love DraftKings because it's, as opposed to doing a week-long commitment, you get to play every week. You get your share of $100,000 of DraftKings in the week one contest. This weekend, if you want to try it out, you can get your share of $100,000. DraftKings is the destination for fantasy football, as you know. It's no season-long commitment. You play the 1 week, you play against your friends, you play head-to-head, and you can win real money. I've won money, and a lot of people who won actually big money. You can do the 50-50 contest where the top half of all entries win cash. There's all kinds of ways you can do it. You want to go to DraftKings.com now. You can use the promo code GEEK. You can play for free this weekend with $100,000 in $100,000 fantasy contest. It's 100% free. There's no reason not to play. Just go on to DraftKings.com. Enter the promo code GEEK. That's DraftKings.com. Promo code GEEK. Check it out.
There it is, DraftKings.
Yep.
Football is back in business.
It is back. And speaking of which, like Twitter, we talked about this a little bit before. Twitter is launching a streaming video just in time for Thursday Night Football. And, you know, I don't know. It's a streaming video app, specific, for Apple TV. And I don't know. What do you think of this?
I think it's great. I think it's long overdue. I think... Another way for Twitter to figure out how to monetize their platform, and I think having the option to have Periscope and having other video components displayed and communicated through your television, I think is awesome.
Yeah.
And having that, you know, especially with the offering that they're doing with sports, like with the NFL, it's going to be every Thursday you can watch the game on Twitter.
Yep.
Like, I think that's fresh. They're going to also offer NBA content. And I believe, you know, just other like water cooler moments that you would only be able to watch, you know, on TV or, you know, through your device. Now you can do it through Twitter and you can still have the interactivity, because I think that's what's most important. People want to be able to be a part of the conversation while they consume the content, not just be passive consumers.
Right.
So it's giving people the opportunity to be active participants. And I think that's fresh that I could do it from my Apple TV in my bedroom or whatever. You know?
Is this the future? Is this the future sort of like, do you think that, meaning, will we see Snapchat have a channel on Apple TV?
I don't see why not.
Facebook having, like, you know,
I don't see why. What's the difference of having Snapchat as an app in the App Store?
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing.
I agree. And what's interesting about this is that, you know, you have all these different companies, you know, but the company that's the most well-positioned of all these companies is Apple. Because they're positioning themselves. They're like everybody come on in, Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on in, Google.
We got a room for you.
The only one that's not playing ball is Amazon, which is very, very annoying as someone who loves Amazon's programming. So, you know, I have to go from Apple TV to my Xbox to watch Amazon stuff. Mm-hmm. I would love it if there was an Amazon button on Xbox, but they're not doing that.
Yeah.
I wonder if do you think they'll last?
No. I think they'll continue to do that.
Oh, wow.
I think that Amazon, I believe, I would argue that they are more closely positioned to take out a Netflix, to take out I wouldn't say Apple, but I would say Netflix in terms of the content game.
Right.
But I mean, they have their own hardware. So why would they need to do? They have the Fire Stick. They have all these other things. Like,
I think the only reason that Netflix is doing better than Amazon right now is Netflix is has a 10-year head start.
Exactly.
In game, you know, and also the streaming game. I think that like what Amazon offers is essentially, you know, and will be in the next 5 years the exact same thing.
It is
better.
It is the exact same thing. Yeah. It's just at a smaller scale.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that Apple has, what Netflix has, is brand recognition and brand loyalty. And so, I think Netflix is a good product too. I think they're all good products. I'd like to see them consolidate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
there's people that argue that, you know, the traditional bundle that we would find in cable, we will eventually find with some of the big four, you know, digital platforms. Like, if you have a bundle of Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, and just pay X amount of dollars for the month and have them all. I think that is probably something that could potentially happen.
But the device, how you get that to your television, will it be through your Apple TV?
Yeah, it will.
That's what's cool. And I wonder, like, you know, for people like PlayStation, who's not going away and really aggressively pursuing this area as
they
well.
Should.
Xbox, I'm not sure what Microsoft's doing. I mean, my Xbox One is still here and it does all that stuff, but I feel like that they're...
No, thank you.
I feel like they're sure fading away.
No, thank you.
But, you know, Microsoft can never, like, sustain. They launch big, they got all the money, they got all the right things, they just can't seem to sustain, like, anything.
Man. Yeah, man. But I'll throw it to you. I know we got a lot of other stuff to cover, but quickly, do you think this is a good move for Twitter? And why do you think it took them so long to like actually position themselves to be in front of people in the television medium?
Well, what I think I know about what was going on behind the scenes in Twitter, I know that they had some issues with leadership at the top. And I know that this is from all my Chris Sacca, one of the main first money on Twitter, talks about this. Initially, you know, Twitter had a very specific direction and one way to go, and then the path leadership was very happy with just sort of like we've already won, we're raking in money, and no one was innovating. No one's like, what's next for Twitter? Twitter's going to be going away. So now they've got some leadership change over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. and they're now thinking about the future.
Yeah. Like
they're thinking about how can Twitter stay relevant, because the 140 character game is not going to be the same in the next 10 years. So what can we do? So that's what I think. I think that's where the why comes from. Do I think it's a great idea? I do. I think that all these companies have to figure out how to change. These are no longer websites or apps anymore. These are media companies now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as a media, all of them, including Snapchat, has to start thinking like a media company.
Yeah.
And so, and as long as you have that hat on, what would a media company do? Yeah. Not even a network.
Distribute.
Exactly.
Distribute, expand.
Exactly.
Grow.
So, I'm looking very forward to the next phase of Twitter and what happens there.
For sure.
We'll see. I talked about this last week. I want to talk about it again. I want to talk about it with you, but you haven't seen it. But Atlanta is like one of my new favorite shows in a long, long time. Donald Glover's show, episode 3 just dropped. I mean, Donald Glover talked about he kind of wanted to do Twin Peaks with rappers.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really explain. I was trying to explain a show to someone like what this show does and why it is. And it's kind of like watching it. Either you love it or you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But it's pretty just straightforward. It's just pretty much, you know, a look into the life of some folks coming up in Atlanta, like, you know, it's really a rapper, a potential manager, some folks, black folks, but the specificity mm-hmm. of what they're doing in the show, what they're showing in the show, like is the
authenticity as well.
The authenticity and the specificity of really taking you into this world, not like just as window dressing, not like Atlanta, just set in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember when I've seen someone take, outside of a feature film,
an
independent film, take this level of detail, and it invests you so much more into the characters.
Absolutely.
And so much more into the world. And it's been 3 episodes. I tell you what, nothing's happened yet.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just set tone setting, you know.
I can watch 100 episodes of them doing exactly that.
Right.
It's really great.
For everything that I've read, I've yet to watch an episode yet, but everything I've read is exactly that. Like, the environment, like they're able to really like insert themselves into like the pulse of Atlanta and like what the culture is and what the rhythms are and how yeah, that's why I said the authenticity of that environment and have the characters support that. I love what I've seen in terms of the promo pieces, the poetry and how it's shot. Yeah. Like, very artistic. Has a great visual language to it, and I think that just having that alone, like without even seeing the dynamics and the interconnectivity between the characters, just seeing that, like, is very interesting. I'm surprised I haven't watched it, to be honest. But
you actually really
I'm sleep right
drop,
I'm slipping.
Drop everything yeah. And then watch they're 30 minutes each,
right?
90 minutes, like, right. You need to watch it. And
also, I want to ask you, I want to posit. So uh-huh. I heard that the humor. It's subtle, right? The humor is subtle. It's not
very,
like
It's very, very, very. What's the word I look for? It's dry.
Yeah, dry humor.
It's very dry, which you don't really get. Why that's interesting? Why it's fantastic? You don't really get a lot of just dry humor from black comedies, right? Like we're
usually out front,
doing
loud, extras,
extras, like going for the joke in a loud way, you know. Right. And I think that
this one's in the cut.
I mean, it's like it's really, and it kind of, you know, I guess it kind of speaks to kind of this, you know, post millennial hipster ish culture, I guess, because I think of like the generations before that, like the generation before this, my generation, I say, because I'm older than you, is like. You know, I come out of the Showtime at the Apollo comic generation. Everything sort of came from that. Yeah. Before that, it was sort of the Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor generation. Mm-hmm. You know, before that, it's Red Fox generation. But what we do, like how the humor is communicated, is really, really funny. So it's more attuned to like a feels in tone more like a Woody Allen movie or something like that. And the reason why I reference Woody Allen is because it's so interesting to me that all these comics, I mean, and Donald Glover is more of a rapper and actor than a comic, but like, I think Chris Rock, all Chris Rock wants to do is make, is he's obsessed with Woody Allen. Is he Woody Allen type movies?
Yeah.
Aziz Ansari. That's all he wants to do is make Woody Allen type. These are two loud comics. Yeah. Louis C.K., all he wants to do is do Woody Allen stuff. I think it's very interesting that all these comics who have all this great success of being like sort of loud and outwardly funny, when it's time to do their creative stuff, they want to go subtle.
Because I think exploring the subtext, exploring like the intricacies of people dynamics and how people communicate, I think that's more interesting. And then that versus like having it up front and in your face, like having you kind of like have to like dive into that and figure out that, I think that's a better process for the viewer, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. So I think I'm definitely engaged to go binge and catch up, you know what I'm saying?
And I do want to mention, man, Lakeith, I think it's Lakeith Stanfield, the dude, he played Snoop in Straight Outta Compton. He's one of the stars.
He's on point.
He's really, really funny. He's like the comic relief. But
okay.
Like his expression the entire show is this, and it's really a great performance. The dude who plays Paperboy, I don't know his real name. The guy on the far right.
Yeah.
Another dude. Expression the same the whole time, but their acting, acting they do with their expressions and micro expressions is incredible.
Details.
Like, it's really like, I mean, it's really, really, really smart and funny. The last thing I'll say, because I'm raving about this thing, last thing I'll say about it is it looks fantastic. I mean, yeah. Donald Glover's boy, my research is horrible right now, but the dude who's this, who basically directs them all and DPs them all,
he was Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's a Japanese dude, or Asia, I mean, I assume I know it's Japanese, but like, he comes from independent film and film, right, so he's never done a TV show before too.
But that's why it looks more like a film.
That's great. And so they're all Donald. I heard an interview they're talking about all the time where he would be like, "Is this how they do it on TV shows?" And he's like, "I don't know. I never did one. Do they do this on TV?" He's like, "I don't know." And you look at the way every shot's composed, the choices,
it's cinematic,
of like where they put the camera but it's not just cinematic. It's like well done cinema.
Yeah, it's
like
poetry.
It's
visual poetry.
And so it's really super inspirational from all fronts. And then I keep going on. Then there's the music layer in there too, which is way in the background.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, Don Glover's a rapper, and you know, and all something. But like the music, Paperboy, the rapper, his song's kind of good. I'm okay with Paperboy anyway. All right.
We got some other friends that we want to shout out, man. Yep. General Assembly, some great things that they're offering. So are you looking for a career in technology? maybe business, data, design, or marketing? Are you trying to get that promotion or raise? Well, to excel in your career, you need a 21st century training and skills. And General Assembly is the largest and most respected school worldwide for people seeking to grow their talents and master the marketplace. Whether it's learning remotely, online, or in person, at one of their beautiful campuses, you can join the 350,000 people who have already gotten the training needed to propel careers in tech and business. More than 2,500 companies worldwide hire GA graduates, with 99% of graduates who participate in GA career services landing a new role in the field within 6 months of starting their job search, which I think is pretty phenomenal. Take control of your talent and career now. Find out more at ga.co/geek. That's ga.co/geek, and enter the promo code geek, G-E-E-K, to save on your first class, workshop, or event. Once again, that's GACO/geek, and code word geek again. And yeah, General Assembly is on point. Get your skills up, yo.
Get your skills up and get the job too, because within 6 months, these people are placed in jobs. So that could be you.
Exactly.
So go do that.
Exactly.
We had two more things before we get out of here. I do want to talk about the Emmys, but before we talk about the Emmys, I want to jump over to our guy Spike Lee, who is bringing his classic first film, She's Gotta Have It, to television as a series.
Yeah.
I think this is actually an interesting idea.
See, I knew about this. I don't know if you're hip to it, but I knew about this in 2014. He was actually trying to. He almost had it bought by Showtime.
Oh,
and the deal didn't go through. So I'm so glad it came back, and now it's on Netflix. I think it's perfect.
So I thought, and it wasn't in there somewhere. He was trying to do a crowdfunding joint though.
For this project?
I can't remember. Was it for a film or was it
for a film?
Okay, yeah. That's all right. Okay, got it. So, yeah, man. I'm really excited
about this.
No. I'm genuinely excited about this. I feel like that, you know, Netflix is now a place. Look, Netflix will never not need content. They're buying everything. They will never run out of money. They'll never run out of, you know, they could have endless content. So this is kind of a place for these guys like Spike, like Woody Allen, mm-hmm. you know, on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
This is a place for these guys to like stretch their creative wings, but. Yeah. More so for the Spike, he's got IP that's his, and to be able to take a modern day look
exactly.
at these characters
and make it episodic exactly.
I mean, that's interesting.
That's fresh.
Except, you know, the subject matter, she's got to have it maybe a little.
I mean, I think
risque.
I don't think it's risque in this time. I think it's perfect for this
time.
No, it was risque when he actually brought it out 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
That's a great point. The interesting thing is, he means she's got to have it for $175,000, which will, I mean, each episode of this will be probably quadruple that easily. So it's kind of funny he'll be able to do that. But what I'm curious about, I didn't read this part, you know, She's Gotta Have It gave birth to one of the most iconic characters of all time, his alter ego, Mars Blackman.
Exactly.
Right? So I wonder, is he going to do a grown-up Mars Blackman in the neighborhood and insert himself in there?
I hope not.
I love you, Spike, but that sounds like a Spike Lee move. Or will we have a brand new Mars Blackman, a millennial Mars Blackman?
I hope the latter versus the former.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about this. I'm a huge Spike fan. I love to see what he's going to do episodically. I don't know if he's ever done anything episodically.
No.
So, I mean, that's a stretch for him. And, I mean, just him as a filmmaker, as a storyteller, I know it's going to be dope. I know it's going to be fresh, visually appealing, and structurally sound. And, like, Netflix, I think it's the perfect home for it. I can't wait to binge watch that. Like, I think it'll be dope. And, like, that being his first film and what that film did for Brooklyn, what it did for black actors, what it did for other black filmmakers, like, it's almost like full circle, you know what I'm saying?
And larger than that, what it did for... I mean, in that time, that with the whole independent film movement in general. I mean,
exactly.
all those, like, that whole what started with She's Gotta Have It and some other stuff really gave birth to all these folks.
That's what I'm saying.
The Tarantino's, Robert Rodriguez, is not just black.
You're right.
Yeah, but not just black.
The spirit of doing that, saying, was helped promote and help inspire others outside of our community.
It helped the studio see that not only that, you know, that smaller filmmakers can do this stuff on a larger scale,
right?
And also, obviously, black filmmakers.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be interesting to see. You know, that was 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 30 years ago,
yeah.
And you know, we're still talking about some of the same problems mm-hmm. in inclusiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that works out. We're out of time. I do want to just really quickly talk about the Emmys. This just like a lot, you know, I want to mention really quickly that I'm very, very happy that my girl Tatiana Massey from Orphan Black got nominated. Finally, I know she, but I really, really, really want her to win. No disrespect to Viola or Claire or Taraji, but they've all won, you know. So Robin Wright, everybody's won. Kerry Russell, The Americans, is great. She had a ride for her too, but I really want Tatiana to win this thing. Any favorites for you?
I wouldn't say. I mean, I have my personal favorites, but I think what's most remarkable to me about this is the amount of nominations that Netflix has.
Yeah,
almost 53 nominations, I believe. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's killing these motherfuckers. Well, excuse my French.
No. but that title used to belong to HBO.
Man.
HBO used to just dominate with The Sopranos and everything else. They would just dominate. Netflix is like, nah.
We got this.
Yeah,
and they did it within 5 years.
That's really incredible.
Man.
That's really incredible. People versus OJ, you know.
Yeah, that's one of my faves.
But you know who's really just kind of been pushed to the side is network television.
You know, step your game up.
I mean, the days of Frasier winning 50 Emmys, like 10 Emmys in a row for Kelsey Grammer. Frasier wins again. I think those days are over. But you know, we'll see.
Out of control.
Well, I should say that because Jim Parsons won like 4 times in a row for Big Bang Theory. So I guess he's the new Kelsey Grammer. That's it for us. We're gonna get out of here. Anything else?
Before we get out? Yeah. I mean, really quick. Give me your. I mean, because I don't think we really covered Kaepernick. I mean, as a concept, but
yep.
Kaepernick as a social media phenomenon.
Yeah.
Quick take. Go.
Quick take is I think it's fantastic. I think the whole thing's fantastic. I think that it's really interesting that first of all, I agree what he's initially. This is trying to make quick. I agree what he's trying to say. I initially didn't agree how he did it, and then I come 180 on that and was like, actually, how else are you supposed to do it? Like, you know, you bring attention to this. I think that it's great that you're going to have the people who stand on one side, the flag, no matter what. But the idea that this country and that flag and that thing represents his ability to be able to do that. And we talk about all the time, like, you know, the days of Ali and Jim Brown and Russell are gone. Like, you know, the Tiger Woods and Michael Jordans, all those guys never did that stuff. We saw LeBron did a couple years ago with the hoodie and everything else. Mm-hmm. But like, this is back. The social activism through athletics and it is back, and I think it's fantastic.
Yes, sir. I mean, to that point, I think it's such a conversation piece. Like his personal social media numbers have like times 3,000. Like
jersey sales
have been up. I mean, you find it in almost every news outlet. Every publisher is doing articles on it. Like I haven't seen anything sports and, like you said, socially conscious paired together like this ever in my lifetime. Everything that I would see is something that's pre my birth, you know. So to have this type of dialogue and have this type of visibility of our entertainers, athletes, influencers taking a stand and being vocal, I think it's dope.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I do too. And see the Seattle Seahawks sort of like join him and do what they did last Sunday was cool, and it's all cool, man. I like it a lot. Hopefully more people will do it.
Yeah,
or do stuff like that. So
absolutely.
All right, that's definitely all I got. We will be back next week with more tech stories and news stories. We'll talk about the Emmys and who won. Akili will be able to show off his new iPhone 7 Plus and give us a review of it. But that's it. Where can people find you?
Yo, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. Where can the good folks find you?
On Snapchat at JK Braz, and on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K Brazwell. Thank you very much again for Akili Shine. I'm Joe Brazwell. See you next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hoffman, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Tipia, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.